The giant of comfort. Let's pause before we get into the gist of the message and think about what we're talking about when we're talking about comfort and being comfortable. This may be the giant that should challenge us the most, because there's just something about comfort that we just assume comfort is best, and it's a part of our culture, and God needs to get our attention about what that is and the damage it can do. So the first bullet point says comfort is consolation, it's help, it's relief, encouragement in time of trouble. Comfort is good when we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we go through loss. We need comfort. Comfort is good. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, it states that God is described as the God of all comfort. And so comfort is good. When we're hurting, we need comfort. And we're told to provide comfort, help, encouragement, relief, consolation in those times. So comfort is good. God created it. Comfortable, being comfortable is being content, satisfied, at ease, relaxed. Being comfortable is good in relationships. You know, you want to be relaxed in a relationship. You want to feel comfortable with someone else. You want to be at ease. It's hard when you're with someone where you feel like you always have to be on alert and on guard. And so being comfortable is good. Being comfortable is good when you're doing a job. You want to be comfortable enough to know that you're doing it. You're doing it well because you've learned the skills. So being comfortable is good. There's nothing quite like feeling comfortable. Sitting down with people that you love, with a bowl of popcorn, doing a jigsaw puzzle, with good music playing. I mean, there's just something refreshing about being comfortable. So comfort is good. Being comfortable is good. Those are part of life. But the third bullet point is comfort and comfortable are good until they become God. Until they become what we aim for. Until they become what we work for. Until they become that by which we evaluate our choices of what we're going to do and where we're going to go. The upside down world that we live in says being comfortable is the goal. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, I don't need to make a lot of money. I just want to be comfortable, right? I don't need to have a huge mansion. I just need a home where I'll feel comfortable. I don't need to have the greatest job in the world. I just want a place where I can go do my job and be comfortable. And so it becomes the goal. I want to be comfortable. Subtly and subconsciously then, if it's not comfortable, it becomes bad. That's when these two ideas become a problem. That's when they become a giant. Now, I want you to write down a word before we move into the points of the message, and that is another word for what we're talking about is the familiar. Those things that are familiar. We're comfortable with them because it's familiar. Because being comfortable is not always pleasurable, but it's what we're used to. You know, have you ever stayed at a job, even though you didn't like it and you didn't necessarily enjoy it, but you were familiar with it? And to think about getting a different job was just overwhelming, or you just couldn't handle the idea of change. So you were familiar. It wasn't pleasurable, but you were comfortable, familiar. And that's what often happens with God. We become so familiar and attached to that which we are familiar that it prevents us from going and doing what he wants us to do. Statement that I've been putting in the outline each week: most of the Christian life is learning how to right-size God and allow him to turn life right side up. So when it comes to the things that we're comfortable with or receiving comfort, we need to make sure that he's number one. So here are some habits that consistently take down the giant of comfort. Number one, accept that life is uncomfortable. Just full of good news, aren't I? Accept that life is going to be uncomfortable, because we can, without even trying, we can make comfort such a target, such a goal for ourselves that we can believe that if I can just do something else, I'll be comfortable. But the fact is, life is never going to be completely comfortable. We lost that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Life is good. Here's how Jesus said it in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have what? Tribulation or difficulties or problems. That's not comfortable, is it? Nobody ever wakes up in the morning going, I hope today is hard, right? I hope today is just full of unexpected problems. I hope my back goes out. I hope I stub my toe. No, we don't do that. We are hoping that things go well. But Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And Pete, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. So Jesus said, you're going to have difficulty. Peter, the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, said, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Don't be surprised when hard things come. Why? Because life is uncomfortable. He says, as though something strange were happening to you. Now, isn't it the habit of our world, the environment of our world, that when bad things happen, we think those are the unusual things, right? On the news, they don't show you, here's somebody's house, they mowed the lawn today, right? No, they go, here's somebody's house, it burnt down. Because why? We think that's the unusual. Jesus is saying, and Peter's saying, don't be surprised what's happening to you. Instead, rejoice insofar that as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. In other words, in the midst of the things that are uncomfortable and difficult, rejoice. Look to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Trust in him. Hold fast to him. Accept that life is uncomfortable. Fasting is choosing to be uncomfortable so that you focus on God. If you have not yet, if you weren't in the small group this morning, I encourage you to go to the one today or on Thursday. Louis Giglio, in the teaching today, says that we don't choose discomfort. And yet, discomfort is usually what has the greatest benefit for us. It moves us. It motivates us. But we don't usually choose it. So God has to orchestrate it. That is not appealing, is it? Here's how you can ward some of that off. I'm telling you, it's true, true, true. If you choose to be uncomfortable by fasting, God can do some of the work that he needs to do in your discomfort so he doesn't have to send other discomfort to you. That's a motivation to fast. Because there's some things that can only happen when we deny ourselves, when we are going through uncomfortable times. Now, take a moment. I want you to write down two or three things that have been the most meaningful moments of your life. Just a couple of things. Meaningful moments in your life. Just jot them down very quickly. Looking back over your life, the things that have been most meaningful to you. Okay, audience participation. Anybody want to shout one out? Things that have been most meaningful to you. Finding Jesus. What else? What's that? The wedding day. Absolutely. What else? Having children. Anything else? Grandchildren. Yeah, that's right. Old Trump that. Yeah. What else? Graduation. Baptism. Marriage. Retirement. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, were any of those without discomfort? Has there ever been a memorable or a meaningful moment in your life that didn't involve some discomfort or pain? If you've had women who have had children, memorable moment, important moment, was there pain involved?
Yes.
Absolutely. Graduation from anything, there was a lot of work. There was hard work and sweat in there. Having children, raising children, all those kinds of things. So why do we think that life, the important things in life, will be anything other than sometimes hard? So accept that life is uncomfortable. Number two, let go of comfort to follow Jesus. Be willing to let go of the things that are familiar, the things that are comfortable, the things that are safe, the things that feel secure, in order to follow Jesus. One of the statements that Louis Giglio makes is that it's not, we don't choose discomfort, we choose to go where Jesus is. So it's not about saying, okay, how can I have pain in my life? It's about, where's Jesus? I want to be with him. And then we experience discomfort along the way. But you can't have, you can't hold on to comfort and have Jesus. Because there are times when it requires us to leave our comfort zone. So if we think about the story of David going to the Israelite camp where Goliath would come out every day, it wasn't that the Israelite soldiers were comfortable, was it? Because every day they stood on one side, the Philistines stood on the other. Goliath would come out, taunt the nation of Israel, and they would stand there, literally, the Bible says, shaking in fear. So it wasn't that they were comfortable, but they refused to leave the familiar. It was, they felt like it was better to stay here where it's, you know, we're not home, we're living in tents, you know, this is not the best situation, rather than go out there where it's even more uncomfortable. But that was where God was. He was on the battlefield. He wasn't in camp eating s'mores. As we found out this morning from Mike Reichel that the Israelite soldiers were. Right? Fasting is choosing to let go of comfort to pursue Jesus. And I'm just telling you, I have discovered in the last 20 years of my Christian life, there's nothing that will cause you to experience Jesus more than fasting. Letting go of that which is really ours in order to focus. There's just something that God has established in his economy, his spiritual economy, because it's letting go of comfort, that which we like, in order to do something different. John 16:33 again, Jesus said, I, this is Jesus talking, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me that you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So he says, this life is going to be uncomfortable. You're going to experience things that are painful. But that's not the point. He says, I have overcome the world. You want to overcome the world? Be where I am. John 15:18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that the world hated me before it hated you. If you have difficulty in your relationships, especially people who know you're a Christian and they are out to just give you a hard time, understand that's where Jesus was. It's uncomfortable, yeah, but you have to stay where Jesus is. And then Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Give up what you have. Take up your cross daily. Do what Jesus tells you to do and follow me. Be where I am. We have to let go of comfort in order to follow Jesus. Now, I want you to do this again. Write down significant accomplishments in your life. The first one was memorable moments, important moments in your life, the meaningful moments in your life. Now I want you to think of accomplishments that you've had. Just jot a few down. What kind of accomplishments in your life? Yeah, it could be school, could be work, could be family kind of stuff. It could be success in some athletic field, whatever accomplishment. that you look back on and it makes you feel good. Doing 47 jigsaw puzzles in 30 days. Whatever it is. All right, somebody, what do you have? Audience participation time. Quit smoking. Good, good. What else? Oh, they have color TVs now, huh? What else?
Graduating college,
absolutely. Learning how to drive. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, going through, yep. Did you have more? Me and, and especially the Mick. That's even... Anybody else? Any other accomplishments?
Teaching career.
Teaching career, yeah. So let me ask you, of those accomplishments, were any of those experienced by holding on to comfort and not stepping out? Are you able to hold on to those things that you were most familiar with in order to accomplish any of those things? No. You have to leave comfort in order to accomplish anything. Here's the key. What we believe we will receive has to be greater than what we think we have in our comfort. And that was the soldiers. So the soldiers were standing there looking at Goliath, and they thought they had nothing to gain because they couldn't believe that anybody, even with the power of God, could defeat Goliath. So they would not step out. That's what it is with giving up smoking. You have to believe that what you're going to get is more than what you're going to experience if you hold on to it. We have to let go of comfort to follow Jesus. It's highly unlikely that anyone in the Bible or anyone in history has ever experienced anything of significance, accomplished anything of significance, and still held on to their comfort zone. It's just impossible. You might want to write this down. Leaving your comfort zone feels like risk. In reality, leaving your comfort zone and to be with Jesus and follow Him is the safest decision you'll ever make. You see what happens? It feels like risk because you're unfamiliar with where Jesus is going and what He's offering. And what He has in mind. Because like our kids' time story with Abraham, He didn't give him a lot of information. Abraham, start walking. And trust me. And sometimes that's the way it feels when God tells us to do something. But Abraham was safest when he was walking, not knowing where he was going, than staying back in his hometown. And it's the same with us. It feels riskier. But in actuality, it's the most secure, safe place you can ever be. So we have to accept that life is uncomfortable. We have to let go of comfort in order to follow Jesus. Number three, we need to hold on to Jesus to receive His abundant life. We need to hold on to Him. Because when God comes to us and tells us to take a risk, step out, leave your comfort zone. Abraham, step out. Just start walking. It feels risky. And we can take a few steps in faith. And then when it gets scary and God is not delivering when we think He should or how He should, we can pull back and go back into our comfort zone and lose everything that we'd gained. So we have to keep going. Hold on to Jesus. I wrote this down. This is pretty good. Which is an indication that it wasn't me. Right? Living comfortable is not all it's cracked up to be. Living comfortable is not all it's cracked to be. If it was, there would not be so many rich, successful, physically healthy people who are unhappy and depressed. Right? We live in a world where we hear about all these rich and famous people who are just dumb because they're doing stupid things, because we're looking at them going, why would you do that? You've got everything. You got fame and fortune. You got everything most people long for. And you're committing suicide, and you're abandoning the things that are important, and you're driving fast and killing yourself. Why? Because being comfortable is not all that's cracked up. The promise doesn't deliver. But in our culture, remember I said our goal is to be comfortable. Comfortable home, comfortable car, comfortable family, comfortable job. We want to be comfortable, but it doesn't deliver. The problem is most of us don't live in that realm, right? Where we've had all of our dreams and desires fulfilled. So the devil still tries to speak those lies into our heads saying, if you keep trying, if you just get there, then it'll be comfortable. Then you'll be happy. Then you'll be satisfied. My Aunt Janet is living comfortable. She's my mom's younger sister. She and her husband, Larry, were two of my favorite aunts and uncles. They were a little bit younger. They were kind of the youngest siblings of my mom's family. And so they didn't have kids for a while when I was around. So they paid a lot of attention to me. They accepted me. They loved me. They would play games with me. They'd take me places. And they were just great people, just wonderful people. My uncle was a certified public accountant. He worked for some people for a while, and then as his business grew, he branched off on his own, and he got into investments, and he ended up making a lot of money, a lot of money. In addition to that, he managed their finances well, and he laid out their future. And so they were living very comfortable, very, very comfortable. And then at age 64, in March of 2002, my Uncle Larry suddenly died of a heart attack. And my aunt immediately became a millionaire. He'd taken out so much life insurance because he wanted to make sure that he provided for his family that I have no idea how much she's worth or how much she has. What I do know is that she has her trip. She's gone to pretty much anywhere in the world you can find. She's always on the scouting to see where's another trip in outer Siberia or rural China or someplace that I haven't been to. She takes cruises all the time. She takes her and my cousin, her daughter, who also lost her husband, and her granddaughter to Hawaii every Christmas. And just she buys anything she wants. She does anything she wants. She lives comfortably. But I've heard her say multiple times, I would give it all up if I could have Larry back. I would give it all up if we could just have more years together. You see, she's living comfortable, but it doesn't make her happy. Being comfortable is not all it's cracked up to be. Now, the saddest part of this is Larry died at 64 years old because he refused to leave his comfort zone. He was very, very much overweight. The doctor kept telling him, you're taxing your heart. You can't go on like this. You need to get healthy. You need to lose weight. And he would try for a little while, but it was so comfortable to eat what he liked to eat and not exercise like he should have exercised. And so at a very young age, he died when it's possible he could still be here together with his wife enjoying life. When we refuse to leave our comfort zone to do that which we know we should do, we don't know the ramifications of what we won't experience because we refuse. You see, living comfortable is not all it's cracked up to be. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus says, it's not about comfort, it's about abundant living. It's not about holding on to what we have, but rather it's about receiving his life. In a previous scripture, he said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So you have to leave the comfort zone in order to have Jesus. In order to have the abundant life, you have to follow Jesus. That same scripture in John 16:33, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. You have to let go of your comfort zone in order to take hold of Jesus and the abundant life that he has. Now, so if you think about David, he comes from his father's home with supplies for his brothers, and there's David, young guy, all the Israelite soldiers and Saul, the king, they're standing there. Who had the abundant life? The Israelite soldiers, they were bigger, they were stronger, they had armor, they had reputation, they had accolades, they had all the things of this world. Saul was a king. He had, when he goes home, he goes to a palace. David is this little shepherd guy that doesn't have his own home, doesn't have his own social security number. You know, he's just nothing. He has the abundant life, and the rest have comfort. We talked about the abundant life previously. Here's the characteristic of it. Satisfaction is one. The abundant life offers us satisfaction. That is this constant sense of contentment and joy through the presence of God. Philippians chapter 4 says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. You don't have to be comfortable. You just have to be with Jesus. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Satisfaction. David shows up. Who has satisfaction, David or the Israelite soldiers? Okay, this is where I ask a question and you answer. Who has satisfaction, David or the Israelite soldiers? David, right? Even though on the outside, it's not comfortable. Freedom is another characteristic of the abundant life. And if you remember about a month ago when we first began this, I said, choose the God who is bigger. Are you settling or are you living the abundant life? And these were the characteristics. Freedom. Freedom to be who you want to be, do what you want to do in Christ. Freedom to have joy, freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth. Jesus has the truth and the truth that he has, and then you will have this freedom for living. Were the Israelite soldiers free in any way? No. Was David? All God's people said? Yeah. No, not amen. Yes. You talk about conditioning? Uh-huh. I just came out of nowhere. And then victory. Another characteristic of the abundant life, satisfaction, freedom, and victory. Romans 8:37. Know in all these things. And he's talking about any circumstance, anything that you will ever experience in this physical life. In all these things, no matter how hard or difficult or uncomfortable, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, calamity, all the kinds of things that we try to avoid. Right? For when I am weak, then I am strong. I recognize my weakness when I can't handle it, but I cling to Jesus. That's when I'm strong. We have victory. There's nothing that can come your way if you're clinging to Jesus that can hurt you that he doesn't allow. The worst that can happen to you is not death. The worst that can happen to you is that you pull away from Jesus. It wasn't that the Israelites were experiencing life as they wanted it. It's that they had settled into the familiar because they didn't think there was anything else. We're not like that, are we? Have you ever stayed in a job because it's comfortable? Have you ever hesitated to rock the boat at home or with your friends because it's comfortable? Have you ever not said something that you know God wanted you to say because it wasn't comfortable? You see, it happens in those little places. And then do we ever ask the question, what might happen if I step out? What might have happened? Louis Giglio highlights how it should have been Saul who was fighting Goliath, who should have gotten the accolades, who should have been the hero of the day. He had the finest armor. He was taller than anybody else. It should have been him. But he refused. What might not happen if you don't fast? What might God have on a platter that he wants to give you at the end of that week of prayer and fasting as you pray and surrender and seek him and listen? What might he want to do that will not happen if you don't seek him and fast? You don't know if you don't do it. Finally, number four, do the next hard thing all the way to heaven. Do the next hard thing. It's not the spectacular stuff. It's just the next step. When he's asking us to leave our comfort zone, he's not saying jump off a bridge most of the time. Maybe once in a while, it feels like that. But most of the time, it's just the next step towards whatever he has. It's just the next little action, the next little step. But it's the next hard thing. So do the hard thing, believing that God's strength is there. God's grace is sufficient. God's strength will be there for you. Once again, John 16:33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The next hard thing is only hard for a moment. Because once you take the step, all the resources of heaven come to help you. One of my favorite scenes of all the movies that I've ever seen is one of the Indiana Jones movies. I can't remember which one it is, but it's the Bridge of Faith. Remember that? Anybody remember the name of the movie? Which one it was? What? The Last Crusade. So everybody's familiar with that. He's looking down, and the bridge has been made out of the same stone as the stone that is at the bottom of the valley, so he can't see it. But the instruction is, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And he understands that to mean he has to take a step of faith. And I don't know about you, but the first time I watched that, I know he's not going to die. He's the hero, right? This is a movie. This is not real life. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I was never prepared for suddenly the bridge being there. So he just steps out, and it's there. And then he throws the sand, and you can see the bridge. And then he runs across the rest of it, right? Because it's the first step that is the hard one. And then God will show you the way. He provides for us. So do the next hard thing. Mark 13:13, if you be hated, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrendering more and holding on to Jesus. Surrendering more and following him. Faith flourishes in great discomfort, Louis Giglio says. Faith flourishes in great discomfort, not in comfort. So why do we insist on pursuing comfort? Because it's our default. It's just from our human. We live in an upside-down world. And so in this upside-down world, we default towards comfort. Thus, God has to lead us to those places of discomfort so that we can experience all that he wants us to experience. Now think about it. The greatest memories, the greatest moments in your life filled with difficulty, discomfort, pain. The greatest accomplishments in your life were not in the areas of environment of comfort. They were from times when you had to try hard, work hard, endure pain, struggle. So why do we think that anything in our spiritual lives of significance will ever happen without difficulty, without discomfort, without pain? Pain is not bad. Pain is hard. And hard is just hard. It's not bad. And so when we experience discomfort and pain, our response needs to be, God, what are you up to? I don't know why I have to go through this pain, but I trust you. And I trust that because he's a loving Heavenly Father, that he will not make me go through one iota, one moment more of difficulty and pain than he has to. Either because he wants to work through me or in me or around me in some way. Hold on. Take the next step, hard thing. Do the next hard thing all the way to heaven. So I challenge you to fast, and I challenge you to stop thinking comfort is the path that you really want. It's not about comfort. It's about Jesus. As I was praying this week, a couple of things that I sense that I heard from God. I'll leave you with this and then with the song. The first was praying for us as a congregation. You're settling for less than I want for you. And the second thing that I heard him say was, it's the affluence, it's the having a lot that leads to the complacency. You have to be hungry. Hungry for God. So I'll leave you with that. And then I would like us to close with this song. This is a song called Thrive. It's actually a ringtone on my phone. By Casting Crowns, that talks about we weren't meant just to survive. We were meant to thrive. And as this song plays, I would encourage you, if you want to watch the words or if you want to bow your heads and just sit before God, but I want you to listen for his voice. What does he want me to do next? Where am I trying to hold on to comfort? Because it's easy when he wants me to step out. What is the next hard thing that he's calling me to? And then as you hear him, respond to his voice. These words after me. Lord, I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. I choose to leave my comfort zone, to cling to you, to do the next hard thing all the way to heaven. Have your way. Lord, we pray that for each one of us and for our congregation as we surrender to you. In Jesus' name.